minutes ago, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And tonight we are on the ninth of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. It says, "Do not give false testimony against your neighbor." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, tonight that we might understand what this whole issue of lying is all about. Help us, Father, to be honest in all that we do. Help us, Father, to hear your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, if there's any untruth in our heart, that we might deal with it and get rid of it, that we may praise you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A minister wound up one of his Sunday morning messages by saying, "Next Sunday I'm going to preach on the subject of liars." So he said, "In connection with this message, I would like you all to read chapter 17 of the book of Mark." Next Sunday came, and the preacher rose and began and said, Now all of you have done as I have requested and read the 17th chapter of Mark. Raise your hand." A whole bunch of people raised their hand. And he said, "Very good. You're precisely the kind of people I want to speak to this morning, because there is no 17th chapter in Mark." You know, isn't it a shame that so many profess the name of Christ lie? And isn't it a shame that this world as a whole is just a world of lying? Just a world that's just not true. A world that you can't trust. A world that constantly is, that is deceiving and being deceptive. In fact, let's begin there. Let's begin with the meaning of this commandment by looking at the what. The what is, notice again the command, "Do not give false testimony against your neighbor." So what exactly is false testimony? Well, it's the giving of false evidence in a formal legal setting. So it's a witness who declares something that is untrue. Just trials are essential to a righteous society. And really, as we look at this, I think it's just another way of God saying, do not lie. And the essence of not lying is not lying in a court of law. Because if there's one area where you especially shouldn't lie, it certainly ought to be a court of law. But in reality, we ought to just be honest. Matthew Henry, who is a commentator from many years back, said that this command forbids three things. First of all, it forbids the speaking falsely in any matter, whether lying, equivocating in any way, devising or designing to deceive your neighbor. So if you look to deceive your neighbor in any way, this commandment covers it. He said, secondly, this forbids speaking unjustly about a neighbor. You know, if you're not being just when you speak about your neighbor, you know, you're gossiping, you're backbiting, you're lying. It would be included in this command. Then he said, thirdly, this forbids bearing false witness against your neighbor, judicially or extrajudicially, in common sense, slandering, backbiting, talebearing, aggravating what is done amiss and making it worse than it is. Any way endeavoring to raise our own reputation upon the ruin of our neighbor's reputation. Lying is more than passing along something that is not factual. In essence, a lie is the intent to deceive. So you may give someone information, and the giving of that information may not be true. But you don't know it's not true. You're attempting to give what is honestly the truth as you think it is. That's not necessarily lying. Lying is when you lie with the intent to deceive your neighbor. In fact, you can lie without ever saying a word. You can lie just by your response to things. You can lie by your mere silence in not answering a question. In fact, you can lie by being with one group, and when you're with that group, you're in wholehearted agreement with everything that group is doing. But then you go and you're with the other group, and now you're over here with this group. And all of a sudden, even though that group disagrees with the issue or what is going on, all of a sudden being with this group, you're wholeheartedly with this group. And what you're in essence doing is you're deceiving both groups in the thinking that no matter which group you are with, you agree with that group. So in doing that, your intent is to lie, is to deceive. So you may not have said a word. You may have only done it by your actions, by your intentions. You have still deceived your neighbor. And so you have broken the ninth commandment. The Heidelberg Catechism was written by the German Reformed Church back in 1563. And it was designed to teach children the basics of the Christian life and also new believers. And it comments on the ninth commandment by saying this. It has God's will, that God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, that I twist no one's words, that I not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are the devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love truth, speak it candidly, openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Well, we looked at the what. Let's look at the who. The who is your neighbor. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not lie to your neighbor. This does not mean that you can lie to the guy down the street. Jesus said our neighbor is anyone we come in contact with. The word neighbor in the New Testament literally means the near one. So our neighbor would be anyone that is near us, anyone we come in contact with. So in essence, again, it is saying do not lie to anyone. The law had a provision built right into it so as to protect our neighbor, so that if anything came to a court, it had to have two or three witnesses to prove something in court. This truth is also seen in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, it says, "This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." Paul giving the same thing the Old Testament said. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses." So if a witness proves to be a liar, he is to receive punishment. You know, even with this provision in the law, sometimes even this was not enough to protect our neighbor. You remember the case of Naboth, where the king wanted Naboth's field? So the Bible tells us that he gathered scoundrels around, and he got those scoundrels to lie about Naboth so that he could get his field. It was certainly in the case of Daniel, when Daniel's enemies gathered people around and consorted them together so that they would lie against Daniel. Certainly is the case of Jesus. Remember, they were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, to bring him to trial, to have a case against Christ. So they brought false witness against Christ also in Matthew chapter 26. So God, in his provision to try to protect one's neighbor, said, look, if you're going to come to court, there's got to be at least two or three witnesses to prove something in court. But man is so evil, man is so wicked, even sometimes in that case, it is not enough sometimes, unfortunately, to protect our neighbor. Well, how do we apply this command? I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, the application of this commandment. The ninth commandment does not deal with honesty just in court, as I've already said, and allowing us to lie, you know, elsewhere. It deals with honesty and lying as a whole in life and in every aspect of life. So what does the Bible say about lying and honesty? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. So you can imagine if you wrote down a list of things that you hated and you were going to give it to your family members and you wanted your family members to know, you know, these are the things that just, you know, gets under my skin. These things I hate, please don't do them. Well, God put his list together. Here they are. Haughty eyes, which refers to pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. What I'd like you to notice is of this list that God gives us, seven things that are just absolutely detestable to God, notice that two of them are lying. Think about what that says about lying in God's sight. That he's going to give us a list of seven, but of the seven, two refer to lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 19:22, what a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. You think about people who are getting rich through lying, going to work and they lie to make a sale, they lie to get ahead in business. Better be poor than a liar. John 8:44. Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you wanted to carry out your father's desires. He's talking about the religious leaders of the day. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Proverbs 26:28. Listen to this. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. A flattering mouth works ruin. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. So when you lie to people, you're acting in hate. Now you might say, no, I love them. And you know, I'm just trying to get out of trouble, or I'm just trying to, you know, cover something up, or I'm just trying to make them feel better. No, when you lie to someone, you're hating them and you're hurting them. You remember the first church or first sin in the church was that of lying. In Acts chapter 6, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied about what they had given in the offering. They said they gave more than what they really gave. Lying was the surface sin. Hypocrisy was the core sin. They lied because in their heart was a lie. So they verbalized that lie. And as I said before, sometimes lying is just giving the false impression of something. You don't actually have to speak to lie. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Why do you notice that God calls Christians to be honest? We live in a world that so often is untrue, but as Christians, God calls us to be honest. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now let's begin in verse 14. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men, in their deceitful scheming. So men are deceitful schemers. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. So when we look at the world, and this world has men who are scheming and they're doing it deceitfully, God says, look, you as Christians, instead, here's what you ought to do. Speak the truth. And speak the truth in love. So there's two requirements for our speech. First requirement is that we're honest. And the second requirement is that we are honest in love. So it's not just a matter of, you know, pouring forth truth, but it is to give that truth in love. Matthew 15, 19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. You know, if lying makes it to your lips, if lying makes it to your actions, if lying makes it to your countenance, it always starts in the heart. So before you ever seek to deceive, it's already begun in your heart. And that is why if we're going to overcome lying, we have to make the decision in our heart to always be truthful. To always be truthful. Whether you're with one group or another group, whether you're with this person or that person, you make the commitment, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, that as a Christian, you're going to speak the truth always. And always do it in love. And at every part of your life, you're just going to be truthful. The easiest thing to do when it comes to this whole issue of honesty and lying is to make that commitment within our heart that we are always going to be truthful. There are consequences to lying. First of all, it identifies you with Satan. So I already read John 8:44. It identifies you with Satan. He's the father of lies. He lied to Eve in the garden, giving the impression that if she ate the fruit, that somehow she would get something God was holding back from her. And she would become like God. There are consequences to lying. It causes people not to trust you. You know, you start lying to people, you start giving false impressions, you start doing things that are not truthful. And every time you lie, people begin to distrust you. And every time you lie again, people begin to distrust you even more. And when you lie again, people distrust you even more. And you can come to the point where people have a hard time believing anything you ever do or say. Because they look at you and they think, they're just not honest. How could I ever trust them? I wonder what your friends think of you. You know, when you get around people that you work with, when you get around your friends, when you get around your family, do they see you as an honest person? Or do they see you as someone they just can't trust? Because either by the countenance of your face, by the things you do, or by the words of your mouth, you're just not honest. Or maybe you're just not honest sometimes. But it causes people not to trust you, because that's what lying does. Lying has consequences. In fact, I want you to notice, thirdly, lying can destroy the reputation of your neighbor. Can destroy the reputation of your neighbor. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good neighbor is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You know, our reputation is something that it is hard to earn and easy to lose. And certainly we ourselves can ruin our own reputation, but people by their insinuations, by their words, by their comments can certainly rob a good reputation from someone else. We're in a day. Remember years ago they used to say where there's smoke, there's fire? So now people know that, so they'll just put some smoke out there. They'll just say things about you just to make it sound like there's smoke, because then everyone will believe that, well, it must be true. And we can so easily ruin someone's reputation. We can so easily ruin the life of another person simply by being dishonest. This past couple weeks, as I've been digging in the thoughts of lying and being honest, I read a couple of stories about it. Let me share them with you. There was a woman guilty, and these both relate to pastoring. There was a woman guilty of gossiping about her pastor. She was convicted and went to apologize to him and to try to make restitution for her wrongdoing. The pastor graciously accepted her apology and then told her that if she wanted to make it right again, she would that she should take a chicken, kill it, pluck it, carry its feathers to the top of the highest building in town, and cast its feathers to the four winds. When this was done, she was to return to the pastor. She carried out his directive and returned to him. Then he looked at her and said, "Now go and collect every one of those feathers." She replied in horror, "That's impossible." He said, "So it is impossible to take back all the things you've said about me." That's right. When you ruin a person's reputation through lying, when you take away something that has been so hard to build, it is hard to get it back. Another pastor was having trouble with a gossip in the church. Every time she would see his car parked anywhere strange, she began immediately to spread the word about the pastor that he was having an affair. There was no truth to the rumors. But she kept it up till the pastor finally decided, "I'm going to have to take care of this." And one night he parked his car in front of her house and he walked home. And he left it there parked for 2 weeks, night and day. It cured the problem. She no longer gossiped. Gossip has consequences. Lying has consequences. And that's what gossip is. Gossip is a lie that we take and we spread. Gossip is something that we build into something that it is not, and we spread it and we spread it and we spread it to hurt the reputation of someone else. Fourthly, it sickens a healthy society. Lying sickens a healthy society. It has consequences. Lying has consequences. And it is destructive to any society. I mean, think about the society that we're living in. I've said this so many times. Years ago, if you worked in business, all you had to do was shake someone's hand. That's all you had to do. And people took you at your word and people believed what you said. Well, then that fell apart. So what did we do? Well, we began writing contracts. So why? So people would keep their word. And now we live in a society where no one believes contracts anymore either. Why? Because in our hearts, people lie. So even if you sign on the dotted line, people don't keep their word because they were lying from the very beginning. And when you live in a society where you can no longer shake someone's hand, and that was your word, where you no longer can believe someone even though they write their word on the dotted line, it sickens society and it brings it down. Lying has consequences. Number five, it may subject you to the judgment of God. It may subject you to the judgment of God. Turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Read this verse many times in church. And all liars. Notice it doesn't say all for everybody here, but when you get to liars, it says all. All liars. What is true of them? Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So if you live a lifestyle of lying, the Bible says it tells something about your heart and it tells something about your destination. That your destination will be an eternal separation from God. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will not go free. Lying has consequences. So let me say it this way. As I've already said, when it comes to this issue of truthfulness and lying, the Bible is very clear that if you are a Christian, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you need to make a commitment in your heart to be truthful, to be honest. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Whenever you speak, whenever you're with two different groups, whenever you respond to a question, whenever you respond to something going on, here's the question we ought to ask ourselves. What is my intent and what I'm about to say or the impression I'm about to give? So whenever we say something, we're about to say something, whenever we're ready to respond to a question or respond to something going on in life, the question we ought to ask ourselves is, what is my intent? What is my purpose? What am I trying to accomplish in what I'm about to say or in the impression I'm about to give? If it is a lie, if it is a falsehood, do an about face. If it is truthful, let it out in love. That's what he says here in Ephesians 4. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Let's stand for closing word of prayer. Father, I pray tonight that if we have never done so before, that in our hearts tonight we might make a commitment to being truthful. Truthful in all we do. And I pray, Lord, in all things, in all areas of life, that we might be truthful. Help us, Lord, not to deceive or lie, but help us, Lord, to be truthful. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.